T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
If the glue can't go, what do you do? No, trust them as far as I can throw them.
You know, I'm just happy to be able to be part of a lineage of great players that have put on some unbelievable performances.
Irving is a machine, 36 points.
Last 8 points here for Boston. Playoff Kyrie.
The playoffs are like a blizzard.
John Kane Nordstrom plants the dagger in the hearts of the Leafs.
That's not baseball talk.
Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seat.
Gardy's very good at it. If you don't get it all the way,
everything's just disemboggled on that team.
Right now,
Martha, the bond's on fire
on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Christian, he's on vacation. He's down there in Cabo, just sitting out on the beach. Good for him. No, he needed it. You could tell.
Don't get away.
It's kind of wearing down. There was a little too much baseball, I think, for him.
We'll get away. And hockey.
And hockey. And you know him. He was sitting there trying to.
So much.
Yeah, he was trying to convince us there's no difference between regular season hockey and Stanley Cup playoffs. And he couldn't. He's wrong every once in a while. He couldn't have been more wrong about this one. Matter of fact, I swear to God, and I said it last week, if you want to entice more people to watch regular season hockey, screw the people that say you should take the fighting out of the game. I think it should be mandatory, at least 2 fights every night in a regulation game. Maybe you plan them out in advance and you bill it. You bill it up there and you tell me who's going to fight at what point in the game. Now, you don't need any of that in the postseason, as evident by these games, including last night's game in Toronto. It was exciting. It was entertaining. You were on the edge of your seat.
John Hyman tweeted this out.
I think that was one of the things, you know, you felt really good about last night. You had 3 games on. I mean, obviously, Kyrie's performance, the Celtics, Tatum, they came back against a team they should have beat, you know, easily. But anyways, was your Boston Bruins last night?
That was the best. Of the night, what do you feel the best about? It had to be the Bruins.
Yeah, it had to be. And Cassidy, I think, making the switch, contrary to maybe what guys in the morning who seem very, very confused about the game of the sport of hockey.
Wiggy
just not really figuring it out. But Cassidy did exactly what a lot of people felt like he was going to do, including myself, and that was make the switch and put
when
Pastrnak.
When is the apology today? Because you were right about the Pastrnak line change thing.
I was.
You and Lou had a ferocious 30-minute battle.
Back and forth.
About what the Bruins should do about the line changes.
Yeah,
you were adamant. Keep the line together. Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron, best line in hockey. Keep them together. Lou was adamant. Switch them up. Turns out you were right.
I was
Pastrnak's
right.
Pastrnak's first big goal of the night to break the 2-2 tie.
Listen to these two
after
guys.
After a benching and back on that line with Marchand and Bergeron. Wiggy, right?
I used
Bergeron.
To defer the all things the hockey. Next, obviously, he's an expert and everything. Right. I'd listen to him.
We all did.
I'm changing my tune. It's now Wiggy.
No.
Wiggy's my hockey guy.
The next words out of their mouth was, did you watch the game? No. Did you? No. Did you listen to a pregame interview? No. Did you watch a postgame interview? No. Did you? No. Because they really do believe.
They looked at the box score.
That Bruce Cassidy did not switch the lines.
Pastrnak.
How do they do a radio show in the morning and not realize that Bruce Cassidy switched the lines and Pasta started with Krejci and DeBrusque? And the fact that that first goal, or the one that he had with Marchand, beautiful, it was actually during a line change. The second one's called the power play. That's when one team gets a penalty. See, now I'm going to explain it, apparently, because Toronto gets a penalty. Their guy goes to the box and feels shame. The Bruins are allowed to have five guys on the ice versus their 4. Now, if you want to include goalies, you can call it 6-5, old school, do whatever you want. And the Bruins have what's called a power play unit. They have 2 of them. Power play 1, power play 2. And on the first power play unit, they actually put some guys out there, their best, you know, off. They only have 1 defenseman. They put Krug on that. Only 1 defenseman. They use 4 forwards. This is called a power play, guys.
The game starts right here at the center face-off circle.
They talk Bruins without talking about the biggest subject, or they just get it wrong. Bruce Cassidy had the best game of the series. He did switch things up.
A lot.
He lit a little fire under Pasternak's ass by what I think was taking him off the ice a lot in the first
Correct.
Half to send him a message in that first period. But 3 minutes and 30 seconds, I don't care about two penalties.
Yep.
Took him off the ice.
So you were, that ice are the markings we call the center red line.
Yeah.
So you were right. You get the gold star of the day because you called that they would make.
Well, everybody did.
This switch. Yeah, I thought that's what they should do as
everybody
well.
Everybody knew what
I
they thought should
do. It's even more interesting because
except for these two guys
but,
in the morning.
But you still have something hanging out there because you're saying they should do it on the road and on home. You should go back. I think he's going to mess around with it because I think he can play some games with Mike Babcock right now. But was Ken Laird in this morning?
No, I believe Ken is already enjoying a nice Easter vacation.
Oh, that was the problem.
That's why.
So Ken Laird.
They didn't have somebody who actually watched the game.
Sunday skate, right, is their guy, and he probably
makes sense.
He took the night off because he knew he wanted to watch the hockey game, and he has to get some sleep,
I
right?
hope he wasn't listening.
Oh, my God.
Very disappointed.
Now it makes
guy.
All the sense in the world. One, now you tell me that Ken's not there.
And they might. I mean, I think this is what, you know, again, this is what happens. Sorry, Wiggy, but all the time in the playoffs, top six guys always get moved around. Guys get bumped up. But I just think if you go back to that lineup that you had, you know, in game two, you were able to put it up against Matthews' line.
Right.
And you have last change. So you can still keep your line together and create mismatches. Now, he could keep him down there in that second line, and he could move him back and forth. I don't think Pasta really got on a true line with Bergeron and Marchand. I think it was two or three times maybe later in that game.
Maybe light a fire.
That was about it.
Didn't they score right?
It was Krejci for the most part.
Didn't they score right after the power play expired, or was it? Maybe it was Toronto that scored right after the power play. But you're right. That's what happened. I think they looked at the scoring sheet. And they said, "Oh, Pasternak scores a goal, and he's on the same line with the guys that he's normally on the line with." And they
see.
That
here's the thing. You remember before the series started, you said who's got the most to lose, and you said Tuukka Rask.
Yep.
And I would agree because it's always on the goaltender, high-powered offense. Last night was the first time I think people really mentioned Tuukka in a negative light.
One really bad
goal. The goal by Matthews. It was awful.
Bad goal.
I mean, it was really a bad goal. And you sat there and said, here
we also
go.
Had a big save in the third period
as
well.
I mean, but that's what you feel good about. You're up 2-0, control it on the road. You know, 2-2. That you lost Uncle Momentum. You lost Uncle Mo, just left the building.
A lot of Mo last night.
Yep. Next thing you know, it's 4-2. It's 5-2. Then they come firing back, and you hold them off. Now that was something you should feel good about. Not just a W, like with the Celtics. Celtics got a W. Fine, whatever. But the Bruins is what you should feel good about.
Yeah.
And the path to the Stanley Cup is right in front of you.
And I loved it. You talk about momentum. The momentum shift about four or five times during the course of that game. And when a team had it, they were just putting on a surge. And that's why it was great. It was a terrific game. And I still think it's going seven. You still think it's going seven?
I do.
Right? Yeah. These two teams are very evenly matched. Now, as for the Celtics, we have pissed off a lot of Celtic fans today because, as Lou said, it's a W, and they did what they were supposed to do. In the best of seven series in the NBA, you take care of business in the first two at home because it really is a home league, and now you got to go and take your game to the next level on the road, and they did what they were supposed to do. But I don't know how anybody who was waiting for them all season long to suddenly just flip the switch. And we've got a lot of these people who are calling us up today who really believe in the first two games they've seen against a really pretty weak team in Indiana. Certainly offensively, they play defense hard and they work hard and they force you to really work hard to do anything. And they did it with Kyrie. They were all over Kyrie in that game, which was even more amazing for how well he played. But they can't score a lick. Their best player has been out for a good portion of the season. And you can't tell me that being in a dogfight to the end in two games against that team at home make you suddenly feel like the Celtics had flipped the switch. And I would ask you, last night, Kyrie was awesome, phenomenal. The people that wanted him gone 4 weeks ago, you're dopes, you're idiots, he's great, he's terrific. I want him back here next year. And Jason Tatum played a terrific game. Al Horford gave you his best coming off of his deathbed. I'll give him that. Who else played well? How was Marcus Morris last night? What did he do?
Hey, we checked in.
Okay, a little bit. A little bit, but overall.
How about playoff Mook?
Overall, I didn't. Those are the two guys that I saw that really, you know,
it's
came
all
out
about,
and gave you a lot.
Listen, it really is all about how you feel about these teams. Because, you know, we've had people left and right calling in or talking about the fact that, you know, Toronto's lost a game, Golden State's lost a game, and But have the Celtics convinced you enough? Do they have enough credit, street cred, to lose a game to Indiana and you just say, it's no big deal. I know who this team is. Like you would say, like, Toronto's been good all year long. All right, they've got some issues in the playoffs. So we'll figure it out. They can get past the first round, right? Golden State, you tell me, if they lose a game, you don't sit there and say, they'll be fine. They built up enough credit. This is a great team. We all know who they are. You tell me the Celtics have built up enough credit to sit there and say, I trust them to flip the switch. I think this is a great team. I've seen it before. Have you? I haven't seen it. I know Scal was talking about it the other day, like, so defensively, he's seen it. He's breaking down the X's and O's, and it's like, okay, but is that really translated? You mentioned before, the Celtics have the second worst record in the last 20 games coming into postseason, don't they?
Yes.
So is the picking it up defensively, is that really, have we seen it as far as like wins and losses for this team, flipping a switch?
No, I think they've been better.
I just don't trust them. So I would say they've won two games at home. Nothing's changed in my opinion.
No.
And the way they've won has actually made me feel even more that I don't trust this team. Because I don't think it's been impressive.
We're not asking about batting averages. Right. What does Lou know, right?
Well, they needed 37 out of Kyrie last night, right?
37 down 12 points. In the fourth.
Down 12 in the fourth.
To that team.
Down two with Indiana holding the ball with about 53 seconds left in the game. And you're playing at home again. See, I can understand maybe that Indiana, because I give them all the credit in the world. Nate McMillan's a hell of a coach. They play their ass off. They can't score a lick. They can't make a basket when they need it. It's easy to kind of defend them because they're limited what they can do offensively. And yet, you know, Turner is terrific defensively. The blocks inside, it's very difficult to drive in them. There's a bunch of stuff they can do defensively to muddy up a game on you. But come on, you're playing at home. You got to win. Maybe you let them stay around for the first half of the game, and then in the second half you blow their doors off because they simply can't score. And the Celtics didn't do that. They didn't do that. And again, they had a rough beginning where they took a lead early on and they were satisfied. And I think Indiana went on like a 15-2, 15-0 run, something like that. And I said, they're going, what is going on here? So to me, the Bruins showed resilience because they came right out of the gate last night, and they said, "Okay, we lost the last game. We're gonna show you right out of the gate. Two zip, they're on top." And finally, Toronto started to get their game back in. Matter of fact, the Bruins had opportunities to up that score beyond two zip. That could have easily been 3-0 or 4-0. So now suddenly, Toronto finally gets their legs, and they finally get into this thing, but every time they got back into it, what did the Bruins do?
They
extended the lead. Came right back at them.
Yeah.
To me,
against a good team.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned before, pretty evenly matched. I would say so.
Yep.
So far. They have been really the last 2 years, right? Pretty evenly matched.
Yeah. Seven games last year, right?
I just trust the Bruins more than I trust the Celtics. Period.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that I guess I'm not surprised. Celtic fans, for some reason, what is the problem? Gilroy's having now with Jerry Callahan. I saw them going back
Gilroy's
and forth.
Gilroy's moved on?
He's moved on from you.
That's okay.
He is taking on Callahan. Did Callahan apparently was not impressed with the Celtics? Is that what went on?
One of the out-of-bounds plays, yes.
Excuse me?
He was not impressed by one of the out-of-bounds play calls by Brad Stevens.
By Brad Stevens? I mean, I was unimpressed with the Indiana inbounds play. Chucked it out of bounds.
That was
down
awful,
three.
Awful. But that's what I mean, guys. Indiana, when the game is on the line, they can't make a play at the offensive end. They can't. They just don't have people that can do that without Oladipo. Bogdanovich was firing up a few in that fourth quarter, but they got nobody else that can really, you know, score when the game is on the line. What was it? Do we know?
You want to hear Gilroy going after your buddy Jerry?
Yeah, sure.
48-minute game where defensively it mirrors the previous 48-minute game, right? Defensively, the Celtics have been an elite team through their first two playoff games, and instead his take is on how bad the Pacers are. Yeah, offensively, the Pacers are not good, Jerry. This is not a shocking development. This is something that's been going on for the better part of the last 37 games since they lost Victor Oladipo, right? This is not news. So I'm happy as a Celtics fan that they've been able to overcome and play through a team that plays great elite defense. I am pleasantly surprised. And now the Celtics are doing what we've asked them to do, and it's not good enough for Jerry Flippin Callahan. Boo-hoo.
Jerry Flippin.
Atta boy, Spider.
First of all, when you're talking about playing elite defense against the Pacers, people can play crappy defense against the Pacers, and they still struggle to score.
I would say this about Gilroy. I liked you better when you wanted to trade Brad Stevens for Doc Rivers. That's what he wanted to do about a month and a half ago.
I'm going to be angry.
Stick with that. Stick with
that. Huh?
Stick with that.
I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. He said Brad Stevens should be gone. He can't handle this roster.
I must have pissed him off at the Green Tamers.
And that Doc Rivers is better suited for this team, and Danny should think about doing that next year.
Didn't I hear him? Wasn't he angry earlier in the season when somebody...
I thought that was a better take.
Somebody brought up the point that... Kyrie Irving was more important than Brad Stevens?
Hell,
didn't I hear that from him?
Happening to my basketball team.
Or one of the other Green Teamers, which, by the way, is the most foolish thing in the world. Brad Stevens, I like him. Good coach. Very good coach. You know, we still haven't seen what he's been able to do with elite players, but, you know, he's learning the game, and I think he'll get better and better at that. And certainly he's great at developing young talent. We've seen that. But if you've got a choice on your team between the coach, Brad Stevens, or the player, the closer in Kyrie Irving, you are taking Kyrie Irving over the coach every single day.
Listening to Ordway and Jerry Seasting on my transistor radio in my bedroom.
Boy, Gilroy. Hey, at least he's going after somebody else. But like
and decided to take his own life.
I don't even understand. I mean, so then go after Scal.
Scal's saying the same thing.
We're saying, I can't judge his team. I mean,
he doesn't want to compute for Green Team. He can't go after Scal because Scal's one of them.
It's so funny because sometimes, like a guy like Brian Scalabrine, Danny Ainge, or Brad Stevens will say things that the Green Team is just ignore.
Boo hoo.
You know, they think they're the smartest people in the world. And, you know, when Danny Ainge comes out and says something, or Brad Stevens, they just ignore it. They just, you know, all these people that say, oh, they beat the Bucks last year without these guys. Your head coach comes out and says, the only reason why you beat them is because you had home court. You know, you talk about championship caliber teams. In the past, your president of basketball operations come out and said, we're not a talent. We're not a championship type of team.
WEI.
Scal comes out, who I think a lot of people acknowledge, very knowledgeable about the game, and says, I can't even talk about this series. He doesn't want to disrespect him, so he is on TV. But he knows that it's about Milwaukee. He said, this team is garbage. They're absolutely can't score.
I was going to say, get it, man.
He's been more negative than you and I have been about this
yelling
team.
Shred Brian Scalabrine then for not giving the Celtics enough credit and just ripping the Indiana Pacers.
We'll take some phone calls on both the Celtics and the Bruins. It's 617-779-7937. I'll just say this. I think what people are getting pissed off at, and I'm looking at Twitter and I'm looking at the text line here, and Celtic fans get, for some reason, are so sensitive about this. I think we're both sitting here saying, congratulations, you won.
Good point by a tech. Yep.
You won the two games you were supposed to win.
Yep.
But we're not going to go overboard to get impressed by it because they still really haven't done anything. For the Bruins, on the other hand, this is a much better opponent than what the Celtics are facing right now. This is a team that can beat you, okay? They can beat you in this series. And we're looking at it saying to go up into Toronto last night and to play the way they played is more impressive than what the Celtics did last night at home. And you can thank Kyrie for saving your ass in that game last night. That's what we're saying. What is totally wrong with that? Why is guys like Gilroy get so defensive? He's sitting there saying that the Celtics employed elite defense against the Pacers?
No, we went up against an elite defensive team in the Pacers.
They are a good defensive team, and they play real hard. I will give you that. You're going to play
offensively. The Pacers are not good, Jerry.
Well, if they're not good, then how are you going? How do you lose to them if they're not that good? Okay.
This is not a shocking development.
I love it, though.
No, I think he's making good points.
I do love it. I can't wait for them to play Milwaukee.
The Bruins fans,
I really can't.
The Bruins fans are just the opposite when their team doesn't perform well. If Tuca was struggling right now, do you know what these phone calls would be?
Oh my God,
Tuca sucks. Get rid of Tuca.
Oh my God.
$7 million bust.
Because they're real people.
Exactly.
I don't know who the hell these Celtics people are.
Get rid of them.
They're real people.
No, I tell you, they love the Celtics and they're not well. And it's not like we're saying any. Are we talking negatively about the Celtics here tonight?
You guys are pretty negative.
No, we're not. We're just sitting there saying.
They faced adversity yesterday.
Well, we are.
They haven't proven anything. Down and then they won.
They haven't proven anything yet.
They won two games.
And by the way, this series, they won't prove anything.
Yippee. Yeah. Against a bad team. Woohoo.
Let's get to the next series.
They haven't shown you anything.
Then they can prove something.
Wait till you see Milwaukee. And then you can be, you know, you can talk all you want about flipping
Pistons
the switch. It'll be up to them.
Yet.
Honestly, the Celtics team's an absolute fraud. if you ask me. They've been using this flip-the-switch thing just because they know what the inevitable is. They're trying to push it along. You know, 2 months, they don't want to talk about their struggles and why they haven't flipped the switch. They didn't go on a month run. So they just kept pushing it along to the point where now they're even pushing it further past the first round of the playoffs because they know they got a dog team in Indiana. So they just, you know what? Whatever. We're going to flip the switch next week when we play Milwaukee. All right, we'll see. Milwaukee will be in front of your face. You want to show me something? Go out and beat them. But so, they know you can't. So, they know they can't.
So
it's just inevitable.
So Jerry was basically saying what?
To me, it sounds like Gilroy's bent because Jerry, instead of crediting the Celtics for playing well, much like you guys, he's pointing out all the shortcomings that the Indiana Pacers have.
More about the Pacers being bad than the Celtics.
It is. It absolutely
not
is.
To Gilroy. It
is. Oh, Gilroy's a green teamer, though.
It absolutely is.
They're
2-0
in the playoffs.
It is. I mean, I'm sorry, it is. See, that's the problem I have, is that these people are convinced, and they're calling us up convinced that the Celtics have already flipped the switch. And I don't believe they've flipped the switch yet. I have not seen any evidence that they have flipped the switch. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, win 2 home games against a team that's not nearly as good as they are. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Get a gold star like we gave Lou earlier in the
trophy.
Program.
Good for them.
Fantastic.
Good as them. Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm sorry, and we gave the Bruins more credit today because the Bruins deserve more credit. What they did last night was substantially more difficult than what the Celtics had to do. I think yesterday we both said we expected the Celtics to blow out the Pacers, right?
Yes.
And didn't Scal say the same
thing?
You
also said Scal
said the same thing
yesterday.
I said that I think that I wouldn't be shocked at all if they lose last night. Both you guys looked at me like I had 17 heads.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they're down 12 in the fourth quarter.
Scal and I
thought they were down 2 points with what, a minute to go?
Yep. I thought blowout, and Scal thought blowout. Yeah. That's correct.
How'd that go?
Not so good. Not so good. And that's why so what I'm doing is I'm taking what my expectation was and I'm lining it up and saying they weren't that good last night. Kyrie was phenomenal. Jason Tatum was excellent. The rest of the team, eh. Connor is in Connecticut. Next up here on OMF. What's up, Connor?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I think I got 2 things to say. First thing, I think you guys are being a little bit harsh on the Seas. I think that they had the exact same team pretty much from last year's playoff run. The only difference is they have Hayward and Irving this year. I think the whole regular season was pretty much a power struggle, with young guys going out, trying to prove themselves, get big contracts, you know, and Kyrie Irving and Haywood trying to, you know, be superstars. So I think that's what the regular season trouble was this year.
So let me ask you this.
It comes down to a playoff ball, and they want to win. So I think that I think they're actually going to do well. I think they're going to go far. I think the Bucks will be the test. And also,
Jesus, I just think the sky's blue.
Hey, Connor,
I'd rather have Doc over Brad Stevens. He's won us a championship.
You'd rather have what?
I have a lot of respect for Doc.
I think you said you'd rather have Doc than Brad Stevens.
Right.
Okay. And that's probably because Doc, his team came from 21 down the other night. And that's
people remember Doc.
The last thing they remember. And I think Doc with veterans, to me, is a better coach. On the other hand, I'm going to give Brad Stevens credit because he's terrific at developing these younger players.
Fair.
And I'm not sure Doc was great at that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John. John's in Maine. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? I don't think you're being like overly harsh on the Celtics. I think you're being pretty fair in your assessment. Other than the fact that I don't think the Pacers are a bad team. Even without Oladipo, they're still a pretty good team. They play tough. They play to win. And it's essentially like the Celtics going into the playoffs last year without their best player. But I feel like they're going to get past this team pretty easily.
John, did you say a good team?
I think they're a good team even without Oladipo.
They won 5 of the last 13 games they played. Last 13 games, they won 5. I'm looking at it.
8-13 in the year.
They got blown out in these games. They got blown out.
But
teams, including the Celtics. Celtics beat them 117-97. They got blown out. They got blown out by Brooklyn 108-96. Orlando 121-116. What are we talking about?
They lost Oladipo halfway through the season, and they didn't start faltering until right before the end of the year.
Because everybody is trying to
guys, they're not a good team.
Some bad teams in the NBA.
I have no idea what we're talking about. And so, John, let me ask you this. If they're a good team, even without Oladipo, what do you think happens in the two games this weekend out there in Indiana? Do they win them both?
No, I think they split. They win one, and the Celtics manage to take the other one.
So that's bad, in my opinion, if the Celtics only win one of those games, right?
No, I mean, home court advantage is huge, especially in the playoffs. There's okay. three teams on the court. Right. Everybody knows that.
All right.
It's called a gentleman's sweep.
It's yes. amazing. It's amazing.
Go Celtics.
Let's get some reality. Let's go to Paulie in the car.
Paulie's in a car. Hi, Paulie.
Hey, what's up, boys? Listen, I know next to nothing about basketball.
Oh, no.
I'll guarantee you that the Celtics will win this series in five games, and then they'll lose the next series in five games. They will not be able to stand against the Bucks. The Bucks are going to cream them. This team has no team chemistry, and I can't wait. And I said it last year. I can't wait for Kyrie Irving to leave. He is a problem, a major problem. I don't care how good he is. He sucks in the dressing room. He sucks as a leader. These guys don't like each other.
Did you watch the game last night, Paulie?
They loved each other. They loved each other last year. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. You know what?
What?
And I'm gonna admit that I love Carson Coleman. I think he's an up and coming star. This kid can really. I did not think it was a good idea.
So you didn't watch the Celtics. You watched the Bruins.
I did not think it was a good idea to bench him in favor of Johansson.
Yeah.
After watching the game,
yep.
I believe it was the right move to have made.
Oh, there you go.
I'm done with this. The Celtics suck. They had no chemistry.
Paul, did you watch the Celtics last night?
I can feel them a mile away.
So why didn't you start with the Bruins? You should have talked about the Bruins. They were terrific last night.
Well,
good game.
You guys are talking about the Celtics.
No, we've been talking about both. Actually, we've been even throwing a little Red Sox out there.
Paulie, just admit it. You watched the Bruins. You didn't watch the Celtics at all.
He said it.
He didn't watch the Celtics. So, which is fine. I think everybody did. I know I watched. That's the one I watched live.
Pat Boylan has tweeted this out. There'll be Pacers guy, right?
Yeah.
There will be plenty of discussion about avoiding the big quarter. Well, they scored, eight in one of those quarters. But it should also be noted how well the Pacers played for a large portion of those first two games. I would agree with them. They did.
Yeah.
Out of the 96 minutes in the two games in Boston, Indiana was tied or ahead for 62 minutes and 47 seconds. That would be 65% of the games.
That pisses me off, too.
It should. It should piss you off, Gilroy. I mean, Indiana should not be doing this, guys. Indiana played at a much higher level, admit it, than you ever expected. I don't know how you come out of these two games and suddenly say, wow, the Celtics look great, when they did not play up to the level you thought they would play at when the series started. Let's see what they do out in the road.
Jerry flipping Callahan, boo-hoo.
I love it. Kelly getting into the fray now. This hour being brought to you by Reed's Ferry Sheds. We get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. And hang in there because soon we're giving away a pair of tickets to a future Red Sox game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, back here at OMF, 617-779-7937. We'll let you hear from Alex Cora if you missed it. A couple of things he had to say that were pretty interesting earlier in the program. And then we've got last call for you, and I got a great one. We got a legal expert talking of breaking down the Kraft case. He's somebody that apparently, I did not know this, but apparently he's taken a legal course. I think it was probably like one of those online legal
law
courses
classes.
Or something. Wait till you hear this. This is incredible.
Yep.
Kyle is in Jamestown. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I'll keep it quick and short. Short and sweet, I mean. Love the show. Since the rebuild, when we got rid of Pierce and Garnett, this is the absolute least favorite team that's ever been assembled of any year.
Why?
Kyrie is a total flake. He's a fraud. He takes games off. He has a bum knee. He's obviously going to leave. I can't wait till he leaves. The team doesn't play together well. They don't mesh. They don't fight. They just walk into stadiums like they're going to automatically win every game. What do you got?
Finally, we get one of these calls. Finally. Been Kyle's, waiting all day.
So you're big on this team.
I love the Celtics. I think they're probably the most talented team in the NBA, and I'm just disgusted at the way they play.
Yeah, but why?
But Kevin, let me ask you an honest question. Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I did.
Do you really think the Celtics are better off without Kyrie Irving?
I get what you're saying on a talent basis, because he literally at any point can take over any game. He is an elite scorer. He is that fourth quarter, last 2 minutes dagger. You know, you saw it when he won the finals for the Cavs. They wouldn't have done it without him. The problem is that there's only so many games in a year that are in the playoffs, and when he's an automatic, you know, going to miss 30 games every single season. He's a head case. He makes the players around him less good. He doesn't really play well in the system. And when I heard Ordway actually say we should take Kyrie Irving the flake over Brad Stevens, the guy who's literally a coaching genius, it's just the absolute wrong decision.
I would say this. Anytime you're going to take a coach, okay, a coach now, over a superstar player in the NBA, you're crazy, because it's not about coaching, it's about players. And it's about the great players. And he's a great player.
Great.
So you great. Listen, Kyle, I get why you don't like the stuff he says, because I agree, he pisses everybody off. You're sitting there going, why? Why do you have to say these things? I don't know. He maybe thinks he's smarter than everybody else, and he can kind of, you know, play this little game or whatever. But when it comes to great closers in the game, and that's what you need, superstars who can close out the game and can do it on the road, you've got one right now. And if you let him go, you're going to suck. You can enjoy and bring all the young kids you want and put them up on the shelf. Good luck to you. You're going to have a cute little team that sucks.
You know, Glenn, you make a great point. It's hard to disagree with you. All I'm saying is I hate Kyrie Irving. I want him to leave. I want him off the team. I want him on the Knicks. I want to see him destroy the Knicks. I want him. I want him gone. I don't want him on the team anymore. I got to go. I love you guys.
You got it. You're entitled to your opinion.
I would say he made Jason Tatum pretty good last night.
I think he did. Lucas is in Rhode Island. Lucas.
That was a good call.
I wish we got more like that.
I just want to give my two cents on the Pacers-Celtics
Continue.
Last night and, like, kind of just the whole series in general. I mean, 2 or 3 weeks ago, everybody was talking about how this is the team we wanted to play in the first round of the playoffs. And now it's here, and now they're doing good, and everybody, you know, including you guys, are kind of hating on the Celtics. I just want to say this is exactly what we wanted to happen.
We're not hating on the Celtics.
No, continue. Go ahead.
That's just how I talk. I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is,
no, we kind of
wanted
are.
Them to go against the Pacers so they could get a boost, kick their ass, and then get a confidence boost and go against Milwaukee. Isn't that what we wanted? Isn't that why we wanted the certain seed we got?
Yes, you feel like they're really confident with how the first two games have gone?
No, they shouldn't be.
Okay, well, that's what we're saying. So, they're going to win. We know they're going to win.
I think Kyrie's putting up 37 points. I think that'll light a fire under his ass, and hopefully some of the other guys will step it up. And they'll be able to play against Milwaukee, but you're right. The way they're playing right now, they won't beat Milwaukee. But this whole series could, you know, set a spark, could, you know, get them going.
All right, so you're saying the same thing we're saying. I mean, well, other than maybe that last point. But, I mean, as far as, like, you know, it hasn't been impressive. It's been two wins. That's all. That's all we're saying. It's been two wins.
How does this series set a spark? How does that happen when you... When you're beating a bad team, they haven't played a road game yet, right?
No, I understand that, and I understand
you know, like I said, the Pacers, maybe they're not the best team, but they are a bad team to beat up on and, you know, gain some confidence.
If you beat up on them.
If you beat up on them, correct.
All right, so how will you...
I agree with you guys that they haven't been playing to their fullest potential. They haven't been playing to their fullest potential all season.
Right.
But... you know, maybe these next five games, hopefully it doesn't go another five games.
Oh, better not.
Maybe these next five games will make a difference.
It shouldn't. They should win one of the two this weekend and then close out the series in game five. And I wonder if they don't do that and they extend it, because Lou predicted at the beginning of the series they were going
to stay with it.
If they laughed at me, but last
night in the fourth quarter, you're sitting there going, oh, you might be onto something.
I was. You couldn't be right about everything. You had to be wrong about something. I would say this, if this series goes six or seven, I don't know how any Celtic fan could be happy other than you're sitting there going, oh, at least the season is still on. Is Gilroy going to go on the radio and sit there and chastise everybody else on the radio? If this series goes for a while, this should be a short series. I mean, Scal predicted a four-game sweep. He's been with this team all year long. Based on the talent level of the two different teams, Scal has said this should be a four-game sweep. And I agree. They're that much better, and they are in the playoffs now, where you're finally focused on everything.
They've had to play with grit and balls.
Grit and balls. Let's go to Trevor. Trevor's in Connecticut. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, how you doing, Glenn? Longtime fan, long live the Weiner line. I don't know how anybody here can sit and watch playoff basketball. The intensity of playoff hockey, there's nothing like it on television.
Unbelievable.
Nothing like it. I just wanted to make a point about game five here coming up for the Bruins. Sean Corrali looks like a possibility to
coming
go.
Back.
That would be great. Shore up the fourth line, which I thought was really the weak point the other night.
Yep.
Surprising, because those guys have done a good job. He comes back. I think the Bruins, they need to get the job done. I don't see them winning in a game six back in Toronto. And I think if they get the job done, and I think you get the first line going, however he wants to mix and match Pasternak and Heinen, if they can somehow squeak out a win here, game five, I think they would be very. I think they'd be a set to get to the next round, one game at a time. Obviously,
yeah, but see, I agree with them and appreciate the call, Trevor. But you know, like Glenn said, like for example, let's just say the Celtics, you know, whatever. Let's say that they would lose. It's 2-2. They're playing Milwaukee. They lose game five at home. They go back to Milwaukee. They lose. They got no chance. I think But in hockey. I don't agree. I mean, I think that, in other words, there's a chance. I don't think they're going. I think they're going to win game five. If they lose game five, I'm not ready to say it's over.
No.
Because they've already shown you can go to Toronto. No. It's the NHL. It can happen.
They win game five, they'll probably lose game six, and they'll be back here.
But if they lose
game
five at home, I still think they can go to Toronto and win game six, more so than I would in an NBA series.
Yes.
Against two good teams.
Yes.
Right? Good teams. We're not talking about Celtics versus Indiana, who suck. Talking about Celtics versus a good team.
Right.
You know, on the road, elimination game, I wouldn't feel confident as much as I would about the Bruins if they had to go to Toronto and had to win.
Yeah, but the numbers bear it out. If you look at it, the NBA is so home court weighted, even, you know, even more so in the playoffs, and the NHL isn't. I mean, look at these games that are being played right now. Look at the upsets. I mean, the President's Trophy winner, the tied for the greatest, most wins in NHL history, gets swept. And four.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. You know, you're seeing some of the stuff that's happening right now. It's amazing. That can only happen in the NHL. That stuff doesn't happen in the NBA. And I said it earlier, and somebody was tweeting me basically saying, well, did you see what happened to Golden State the other night? Okay. Golden State led by 31. They fell asleep. They knew the game was over. They had already taken their uniforms off. They were practically in the showers. This is the NBA. That's going to happen. Does anybody believe that Golden State's going to lose this series to the Clippers? Is there any chance?
No.
Zero.
None.
None. Matter of fact, I think they're an 8.5-point favorite tonight on the road at the Staples Center. Okay? And they'll probably blow them out tonight because, you know, Golden State is that much better.
What happened with Tampa Bay would never happen to Golden State.
Never.
In a million years. First off, they've already won one game, so they're not going to get swept.
Right.
Would never, ever happen. I don't think it ever will. Unless it's like a questionable one seed and the conference sucks, you know, but I just don't ever see it happening.
All right. Earlier today, we had Alex Cora, as we do every week. It was on Thursday instead of Wednesday because of the early game and all that other stuff. There was some interesting stuff that he was talking about during this. And Mookie Betts was a main issue, one of the questions we brought up on him, that the fact that Mookie Betts right now looks lost.
Yeah, I mean, mechanically, and I mentioned it yesterday, it feels that he's off. We have some ideas. He has some ideas. So obviously, it's a work in progress. I mentioned yesterday that, you know, last year when he was hitting 380, it was the same surge, you know, like he's unstoppable in this surge, you know, like, you know, for his swing and the balance and what to do. Last year was more about looking in 2031 and look at me and he's like, what do you think? Should I go for it? And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, just go for it, you know. But this year he's looking for reinforcement and you don't see that often, but that's who he is. And, you know, we're there for the kid. We on a daily basis, you know, Timmy and Andy and our group are helping him out. And, you know, with these guys, as you guys know, sometimes it takes one swing, you know, one swing and it clicks. And when it clicks, it's fun. But right now, you know, he's grinding. It seems like he's expanding the zone a little bit more than usual, mm-hmm. especially last five or six games. And, we just got to get back to, attack pitches in the zone, you know, and, kind of like clear your mind when you go to the plate, you know, it's you against the pitcher. It's about competing and he competes, but at the same time, probably clear some thoughts and just be free at the batter's box and be an athlete.
In other words, stop thinking,
right.
Which is exactly what he's doing up there. In mid at bats, he's glaring back to the dugout, looking at JD, saying, hey, am I dropping my back shoulder? He chased a pitch against Dan Straley's 90-91 mile an hour fastball that was 2 feet outside, swung at it and missed. You don't chase fastballs like that. He's thinking too much. He's letting the pitcher dictate his at-bat. You know, yes, a lot of guys are pitching him away. They always pitch him away. Soft stuff, fastballs away. The problem now is that he's giving in. So he's looking for something that's not his strength. So when a pitcher does make a mistake in or half, he's fouling it back. He's jamming himself. Or he's stepping back like he thinks it's a fastball in, like off the plate. And it's actually a strike. So he's not going up there, this is my strength, this is what I do. If you throw it away, I'm going to spit on it because you're going to make a mistake in a half and I'm going to you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark. Instead, when he's getting his pitches after mistakes, he's not ready physically, mechanically to take advantage of it.
All right, one other interesting that we talked to with Cora today, because it's become pretty obvious in the last couple of days. Dave Dombrowski was frank about it, saying there was a split on what they wanted to do with the catching situation, and he was the one that made the final call that Swihart was going to be with the team along with Vasquez and that Sandy Leone was going to be let go, and of course nobody picked him up, so he's still with the organization. But it seems to me that Alex took a little bit of offense to the fact that people are out there saying that they're panicking.
I don't know. People might say we're panicking. I just say that, you know, you make adjustments through the season. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's in mid-season, sometimes it's late, you know, and as a group, we decided to do it now, and we're going to see where it takes us.
It's real simple. Don't overthink this. Alex Gore didn't trust Swihart to handle his pitching staff. I mean, you remember Erod's first start of the year? Some of the comments from Dale Lavangi.
Oh, yes.
That we had a game plan that wasn't executed. That was Swihart's first start of the year. So
they were blaming it on Swihart.
Well, and Erod. You know, it's his game as well, but they weren't comfortable. He's more comfortable with Leone. You can split this thing up into two ways. Is the staff and the coaching staff and the pitching staff more comfortable throwing to Sandy Leone than Blake Swihart? I would say yes. I think that's obvious. So I get it. Okay, then there's the other side, this Blake Swihart situation. Is it fair to say that they screwed this kid up from day one of his rookie year and messed with him and really never gave him an opportunity to see exactly what he is? Yes. Right? So I think that's, don't overcomplicate it. The kid didn't get a chance, but yet he wasn't going to get one here because they didn't trust him. Trust him with the staff.
But they are panicking. The fact that you're doing it so early in the season is because of the record and because you want the starters to be more comfortable, right?
Yes.
That's a panic move.
We got to get the staff right. And I think Alex honestly doesn't know what Swihart was. He looked at his roster and said, I just don't know where he fits. I know where Sandy fits. Let's get something right here and try to get my staff going.
All right. Last call. We got a legal expert. Just happens to be a talk show host as well. It's a little bit confused with this whole Kraft case. We'll get to it coming up
back next. After this.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
I forgot, this is usually the time where Christian's trying to get his stuff together, and he's like halfway out the door.
Got his jacket on.
Right, Lou and I are sitting here. Started. We're staying with the show. It's not over yet. We got a great Last Call. It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids with a K. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. Before we get to the legal expert on the Kraft case, we've got an update now on the Dustin Pedroia injury last night in Tampa. This is from Pete Abes. Initial test showed that Dustin Pedroia did not sustain a serious injury to his left knee on Wednesday night, a Major League source told The Globe.
Hi, Peter Abraham from The Globe.
Pedroia, who was examined in New York, is expected now to rejoin the team in St. Petersburg on Thursday, today.
I go home.
So it has not been determined if he will go on the injured list. He left in the second inning, apparently felt a little pain in the knee at his first at-bat.
Not sustaining a serious injury doesn't mean that it's he still can't play. So I expect him to go on the IL. I expect him to call up Su Wei Lin. I expect him to play more second baseman than anybody because apparently Nunez can't catch a baseball. And what they
can't
slow,
hit either,
slow
by
it
the way.
Back down and let Pedroia get some at-bats, get comfortable, forget about playing back-to-back days. Can he play 3 out of 4? Can he play 4 out of 5? Can you find out if he can play? So I think they finally maybe do what maybe they should have done. And if you missed it earlier, Alex Cora, I asked him about Michael Chavis. Get a lot of that. He's not ready. He's played 4 or 5 games in AAA at second. He hasn't played second base much. Defensively, there is a ton to work on. You know, you got to be able to turn double play. Alex said he's comfortable routine. That's just a routine ground ball. But there's other things that he's not there yet defensively. The bat might be. But defensively, I'm sorry, if you're at second, you got to hold that infield together.
Yeah, but as we talked earlier, they may be going through this all year long with Dustin Pedroia.
Yep.
And they may, you know, what do? They with the roster they have right now, unless they let somebody go, Lou, they're going to just kind of jury-rig the thing, right?
Yep.
For a while, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yes.
I don't see any other way. Hey, this was a day we did not talk about Robert Kraft. You know why? It really wasn't anything new today in the case.
All right.
See, here's how it works. When there's something new in the case, we talk about it because a lot of people are interested in the story. And when there's nothing to talk about, we don't.
So actually, technically, we are going to talk about it.
We are now.
Yeah, okay.
Because Mike Francesa, afternoon drive at the Fan in New York, decided that, and I didn't realize this, he is a legal expert. So we do it all the time. We sit here and say we're not lawyers. We don't even play one on the radio. And if there's a lawyer out there that can help us out, give us a phone call. But they don't do that on Afternoon Drive with Mike Francesa's show. No. Mike is the legal expert.
The state's plan to release the videos, notwithstanding the pendence of motions for protective orders. If
What?
He says the videos were obtained in violation of his constitutional rights. What were exactly his constitutional rights when he was breaking the law in the state of Florida by going in there and paying for a sex act? What constitutional rights does he think he was protected by when you don't come into the court with clean hands? How do you expect to declare that you had any rights at all? That's the first thing I ever learned when I used to take any of those legal courses was you have to go into the court with clean hands before you can ask for anything from the court. How are Kraft's hands clean?
By the way,
when I took all those legal courses.
By the way, when you work at Burger King and you come out of the men's room, you have to have clean hands. And clean hands. You got to have those clean hands.
That's the first thing I ever learned when I used to take any of those legal courses was you have to go into the court with clean hands.
Clean hands.
Before you can ask for anything from the court. How are Kraft's hands clean? when he went in and was paying for sex.
I don't think he understands the whole.
He doesn't know how he gets to explain that.
Well, he's explained it. You just haven't read about it. I mean, they're fighting the fact that it was illegally obtained. The warrant was illegally. But you probably didn't get that. He probably quit the course after like 6 months.
But doesn't he have more?
You have to be there like 7 or 8 minutes. Oh, there's more, yeah.
There's a second part with him, too. Go ahead.
Mr. Kraft, according to his lawyers, has a profound stake in the disclosure of this information. Yeah, they're going to see him basically with his pants around his ankles is what they're going to see. Okay, that's the bottom line. This old guy, voila.
Voila. You know where he learned that? He learned that in the legal courses.
In those legal courses. He put a bow on a 2.5 month investigation, everybody. Voila.
The legal courses he's taken. Oh, the legal courses.
He's beautiful. I love Francesa when he does this. So he didn't read the whole story. He doesn't understand what he's fighting.
No. He's saving that for the audience. He's going to do that right away.
All right.
He's got the
voila.
Don't you love it when he does that? But he does this on the radio. There's
voila.
A
show across the street.
In the old days.
That's the first thing I ever learned when I used to take any of those legal courses was you have to go into the court with clean hands.
In the old days, Lou, they used to have an alarm. And if you stopped talking for, I think, 3 seconds, alarms would go off. We still have it?
Yeah, I think it's a little longer now.
All right.
Let me hear it. Can I hear the alarm? No, I can't hear the alarm. We still have an alarm here? If Francesa ever had that alarm, it would...
Christian.
What? There's the alarm. There it is.
What we got tonight? We had action-packed last night. We got nothing. From three games to nothing.
We got nothing tonight. Well, we're on a bad schedule now. The Bruins and the Celtics on the same night. I hate it, too.
I want one a night.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Let's see who's on tonight. Trellick, I want Trellick!
Oh, sorry, Glenn, you lose again.
Reamer.
Alex Reamer is going to be in the house.
Alone or somebody else?
You want to spin it again?
Spin it again.
All right, give it again. He's with Trellick. He's got to be with...
Got to be Evan.
No.
Ooh, I got to blow the dust off this one because Steve Buckley is going to be in.
Buckley is in the house.
How about that?
Wow.
Good to see Buck.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Steve Buckley, is he here?
And by the way, I did see that Gilroy's going to be on late night because he's tweeting at us to... He's pissed off at our take, apparently.
Oh, good. Off at your take.
Yeah.
Oh, good. He'll go back at us. He'll get off of Jerry Callahan.
Good. We can go back and forth with someone.
That'd be good. I love that.
Thanks,
when
Mike.
He does that. It's like, is that let us know that he's reading? Is he really reading or is he just making
That's him going through his notes.
All right, Reamer and Buckley coming up next. We're back tomorrow,
boys.
2 p.m. Be there. We're out of here.
And Viola.
It's over. We suck. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.